Our sermon today picks up the story that we heard earlier from Fran from Esther chapter 4, verses 10 through 16. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a message from Mordecai, saying, "All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law. All alike are to be put to death. Only if the king holds out the golden scepter to someone may that person live. I myself have not been called to come into the king for 30 days." When they told Mordecai what Esther had said, Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not think that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silence at such a time as this, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another quarter, but you and your family's father's family will perish. Who knows? Perhaps you have come to royal dignity for just such a time as this." Then Esther said in reply to Mordecai, "Go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, and hold a fast on my behalf, and neither eat nor drink for 3 days, day or night. I and my maids will also fast as you do. After that, I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. God, you hold your scepter out to us always. We are ever invited to approach you at any time for any reason. For this, we are grateful." As we continue to contemplate just what it means to dare in 2022, we've been looking at and learning from different biblical examples of people who dared and did. We've even learned Jesus, who took on God's own dare, did some daring of his own. Are we always obligated to accept a dare? Sometimes we need a scare to make us take a dare. And that's what happened to Queen Esther. You may remember her backstory. She won the beauty contest to replace Vashti, the previous queen. Vashti had ignored Ahasuerus' summons to come show herself at his big 6-month-long party, and thus she was removed from the throne and from royal favor. So now Esther, the Jewish orphan, was queen. We don't know how long she had been on the throne before Haman happened. Haman, the hateful. He'd gotten into the king's good graces, so much so that he got a big head about his own importance. He thought he was so important that everyone should bow to him whenever he appeared at court, servants and ordinary people alike. But one person adamantly refused to bow to him. This was Mordecai, Esther's own uncle. His disrespect irked Haman. The curious feature about the book of Esther is that it does not once mention God's name, but God's presence is all over the story. Why wouldn't Mordecai bow to Haman? It's obvious he believed that he was not obligated to bow to or honor any human, especially haughty Haman. It's obvious Mordecai knew there was a higher being who alone was worthy of his adoration and praise. It's obvious Mordecai knew about and worshiped God. He would not give Haman what belongs solely to God. So Haman hatched a dastardly plan to get revenge on Mordecai. Again, he thought he was too important to just get rid of one man. So he decided he would get rid of all of Mordecai's people, all the Jews in the land. He went to King Ahasuerus with an exaggerated tale of disrespectful citizens in the kingdom who didn't follow Ahasuerus' laws, but instead made and followed their own laws. Haman stressed that these people were a problem, and Haman alone knew how to fix it. He asked Ahasuerus to appoint a day when the pesky people would be destroyed. Ahasuerus never asked who the people were or exactly what they did. All he heard was Haman's flattery about his wisdom and his justice. And boy, did Haman lay it on thick. And boy, did Ahasuerus fall for it. He agreed to endorse and sanction Haman's plan. So on the 13th day of the 12th month, the people were given the go-ahead to destroy, kill, and otherwise annihilate all Jews, young and old, even women and children. After Haman's horrible decree went out, what did he do? He and the king sat down to drink, to toast their ingenuity and power. But the Jewish people in the city of Susa were freaking out. And do you blame them? A target was now on their backs. They would soon be destroyed just because of one man's fragile ego. The Jews knew what Haman was doing, even if Ahasuerus didn't. They knew he was angry at Mordecai and thus projected that anger and hatred to all of Mordecai's people. Mordecai was so distressed about the news, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went through the city wailing with a loud and bitter cry. His fellow Jews followed suit. Mordecai's niece Esther heard what was going on outside the palace, and she sent one of her servants to Mordecai with clothes for him, hoping he would stop this great display of grief. It distressed her. She didn't know what was going on. So Mordecai gave Hathach a copy of the decree, and he urged Esther to intercede with the king for them, to stop the madness and compel him to come to his senses and save the people. But Esther, safe in the palace, hesitated. She couldn't just go up to the king, "Yo, king," and have him listen to her plea. The custom was, if the king wanted to give you an audience, he would hold out his golden scepter to you, and only then could you approach him. Yeah, he even did this with his own wife. If he didn't hold the scepter out to you, you could be sentenced to death. It had been a whole month since Esther had last visited Ahasuerus. This neglect must have been weighing on her mind. Was the king getting tired of her? What if he were? She knew firsthand how Ahasuerus could turn on a dime and get rid of her, just as he had gotten rid of the previous queen, Vashti. Esther didn't want to rock the boat. She had a good gig going. She didn't want to spoil it. Mordecai knew how desperate the situation was, even if Esther didn't seem to comprehend the danger. Queen or not, Esther was still a Jew, and she was still under the devastating decree, just like everyone else. Even in the palace, she wouldn't be assured of safety. But because she was in the palace, she was their only hope of turning the tide. Thus, Mordecai dared her. "You can't keep silent. You have to speak up. I dare you, Esther." Mordecai wasn't coming to Esther without some idea of what lay ahead, of what was at stake, of how hard it sometimes is to take a dare. Mordecai had dared himself. That's what set all these wheels in motion. Mordecai knew what taking a dare entailed. He dared defy the order to worship Haman. He dared to say with his action or inaction that there was someone more important and more worthy of honor than Haman, and he would not dare to give the glory due to God to a mere human. He dared to say with his action or with his inaction that if he stooped to bow to Haman, he would be compromising his principles and denying his God, and that he dared not do. Mordecai kept trying to convince Esther of her duty. Think about this, Esther. Your becoming queen wasn't just some fluke. It wasn't just some coincidence. What if you were put in this particular place at this particular time to make a difference? Yes, the book of Esther doesn't mention God or Yahweh, but God is all over the story. Mordecai had faith that relief and deliverance would come from some other quarter if Esther failed to follow through. He believed God would come forth to save his people. Mordecai knew God had delivered people in the past, and he knew God would deliver again, with or without Esther's acquiescence. Mordecai dared Esther to believe in herself, in her ability to talk some sense into her husband, the king, to believe in a higher being and a higher power that wanted to use her, yes, her, in a mighty and marvelous way, if only she would be willing, if only she would take this dare. Maybe her Ahasuerus hasn't called you to see him for a month, Esther, but the great God of the universe certainly is calling you right now. Of course, Esther was scared. She tried to find a way, an excuse to get out of it, a way to turn down the dare. What if it didn't work out, Mordecai? What if she took the dare and the king refused to see her? It would mean certain death, queen or not. Esther had to take a deep breath, take in the whole picture, and realize it was up to her now. The fate of all her people was in her very hands. And so she said, "Okay, I'm going to take your dare, Mordecai. It's a deadly dare, and if I perish, I perish." "Dare to be a heroine," Mordecai said. "Dare to stand up for your people. Dare to stand up for yourself. Dare to change things. beginning with that silly edict about the king and his golden scepter, dare to believe that this endeavor is absolutely worth risking your life for. Again, we see God's hand in this story. God wouldn't send Esther to the palace on a dare just for her to lose her life. God had a plan for Esther. Esther just had to dare to go forward in faith and trust God for an answer of peace. When God dares us, God isn't asking us to be successful. God just asks us to be faithful. Do you ever wonder, why am I in this particular place at this particular time? Why has God brought me here? What does God expect from me? Do you ever contemplate your fate? Do you ever think, oh, God can't use me. God doesn't want to use me. What can I do for God? I'm so insignificant. Esther felt the same way. Queen though she was, she didn't believe she was able to make any sort of difference. The king's law was irrefutable, irreversible. How could she turn it around? Queen though she was, Esther didn't believe she had any power to make a difference. God is not mentioned in the book of Esther, but God is there everywhere in the story. Of course, Esther could do nothing in her own power, but if she relied on God and trusted in God, what wonderful, marvelous things she could do, even save all her people. It's the same for us. What wonderful, marvelous things we could do if we but dare to believe in God's grace, in God's power, in God being all over our story. What if God is daring us to make a difference in the world? What if God is daring us to speak up and speak out? What if God is daring us to trust him in a radical, world-changing way? Esther's defeatist attitude, if I perish, I perish, isn't worthy of someone walking on a God-ordained path. It presupposes that even with God's help and guidance, there's a chance things won't work out. And we all know God is able to make possible what seems to us impossible. We're here for a season, here for a reason. God has placed you, yes, you, right where you are so you can offer yourself in service to God and make a difference. Sure, it can be scary sometimes doing something you may never have done before, going someplace you've never gone before, going up to someone whose welcome you aren't sure of, standing up for others' rights. You know what else helped Esther? She called in reinforcements. She invited others to join her in her sacred quest. She asked her maids to mesh their hopes and prayers with hers. Perhaps her maids weren't even believers in Israel's God. And of course, they were fasting and praying to God, not just to the empty air, but to the God of the universe, who can make marvelous, wonderful things happen. When believers get together to accept any dare, marvelous, wonderful things can happen. We don't have to do this alone. We're meant to support and pray for each other, to encourage and exhort, to dare and to do together. So as you continue to discern what God wants you to dare to do in 2022, think about all those you have to help you, your friends who lend a hand, friends who pray with you, friends who are willing to go the extra mile for and with you. What would you dare to do if you knew you wouldn't fail? Is that possible? Definitely it's possible when you rely on and dare to tap into God's power. God is all around our stories, and God is counting on you, yes, you, to make the difference. I hope it doesn't take a scare for us to dare to take on God's dare. I hope we find ourselves infused with a bravery and tenacity that can only come with God. Esther dared to rise to the occasion despite her misgivings and worries. She has set a precedence for conquering fears, taking a stance, and taking a chance. Dare we emulate Esther? Let us pray. God, you put us in the right place at the right time for such a time as this. So now, God, empower us to do what you dare us to do. With your guidance, your spirit, your strength, we can and we will do wonderful and marvelous things for your glory. May we ever dare to believe that we can indeed make a difference in this world. Amen. Walking in sunlight. light all of my journey over the mountains through the deep vale. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He is the light, in him is no darkness, ever I'm walking close to his side. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above. Singing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine.